Opinions expressed during the show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or ownership of WGCH Radio. Welcome to Center Stage with international opera star Pamela Kuhn. And now, here is your host, Pamela Kuhn.
Good morning, everyone, and the curtain is up on Center Stage, the show about the arts and the artists behind their work. You know, there are many advantages to living in the Greenwich, Connecticut area, but perhaps one of the strongest aspects is a profound connection to visual art. One just has to walk down Greenwich Avenue to view art in many forms. The various galleries that are rich with paintings and sculptures, the Bruce Museum close at hand, and of course, art in the form of a car, with the Tesla showroom on a busy high-end shopping street. What better way to feature an automobile is art, as indeed the Tesla is art in the world of technology, than presenting it alongside valued art galleries for the upwardly mobile and collectors. But if we take a walk beyond Greenwich Avenue to the Greenwich Library, riches abound there besides the latest bestseller and the vast music selection. The Flynn Gallery at the Greenwich Library is a vital example of art on show, available to all. I am still surprised when I hear that many do not know about the Flynn Gallery or the marvelous art installations that they curate and offer. The Flynn Gallery is a non-for-profit, education-oriented exhibition space that presents art in all mediums from a wide range of periods, visions, and techniques. The gallery committee, comprised of 50 volunteers, curates and mounts 6 exhibitions per year. One of my favorites this year was the American Lens, black and white photography, which included a moving collection of photographs on the American cowboy by John Langmore. If you have not discovered their most recent showing entitled Art in Bloom, then you need to head to the Greenwich Library to check out the beautiful floral art that is on display at the Flynn Gallery while the winter months hold us ransom and deny us color. This myriad of delight in Art in Bloom contains art by Bill Scott, Jean Reiner, Julia Berkeley Heck, Annette Davidek, and Jackie Battenfield. Plus, the art has been mirrored by flower arrangements offered up by local garden clubs, adding another dimension to the already beautiful displays. As Art in Bloom comes to an end March 8, I am here to remind you to attend before it closes. Go to the Flynn Gallery and take a close look. Observe the dizzying variety of the artists, and perhaps your lingering view can invoke spring to arrive earlier rather than later. But as this show reaches its zenith, it gives us a moment to speak to the chair of the Flynn Gallery, Barbara Richards, who has taken time to be with us today to discuss the artists on display with Art in Bloom and future presentations that the Flynn Gallery will be opening up soon. Good morning, Barbara.
Good morning.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much.
Center Stage welcomes you. So, how long have you been with the Flynn Gallery?
Since 1985.
1985, and you're one of their volunteers.
I am.
Oh my gosh! Can you give us a little backstory about the Flynn and its beginnings?
The Flynn is going to celebrate 90 years next year. We started at the Greenwich Library when the Greenwich Library was on the Greenwich Avenue, and then when we moved into the Simon department store building, the library, whatever the name of it was, we were on the third floor where the children's library is now. And then they moved the children's library up to the third floor, and we moved into where the administrative offices are now. And we were there for quite a long time, where we had carpeted walls, which meant they never had to be painted, which was kind of wonderful. Mm-hmm. And then when the new addition, the Peterson addition, was added by the architect, Cesar Pelle, designed that addition as well as our gallery space. And then it was renamed the Flynn Gallery. It had been the Hurlbut, and now it is the Flynn Gallery.
It's really quite marvelous aesthetically, isn't it?
We're so lucky to have it.
You really are. And what I love, the open space of the Greenwich Library is wonderful, and all the windows. But when you walk up into the second floor, you know, the Flynn is right there before you, and it's just open and inviting. You can see the art, you know, if you're just on the floor.
right at the top of the stairs. We couldn't have asked for more. It's perfect.
How many supporters do you have? Do you have like a Friends of the Flynn?
There's Friends of the Greenwich Library, and in some ways those are all our supporters.
Right.
But in terms of, we don't have a special committee or group that's just called Friends other than our committee members, which is about 50. But we do have an email list or a list that we send out blasts to that's probably close to 1,000.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
And I understand that when you show the art, some of it is for sale afterwards.
It's usually for sale. It's for sale the whole time, but they can't take it till the end of the show.
Of course. And what? How do you distribute the proceeds then?
They go back. We take 30%, but that goes to the Friends because we are funded by the Friends of the Greenwich Library.
I see.
We appreciate them so much. We wouldn't be there without the Friends.
Now, let's talk about Art in Bloom. I mean, this is such a beautiful cavalcade of color.
It is.
And your curators, Joanne Terracciano and Claire Ferlin, they've done a wonderful job of putting together, in the middle of winter, all this beautiful
sense
of color, but with five very varied artists.
I mean,
very much different. Can you kind of walk us through?
Well, first of all, it's important to have a variety because it's boring if they're all very similar. So the selection committee works very hard to try to get an assortment of mediums and approaches to a subject if it is a group show that is focusing on one thing like flowers. And so we start with Jackie Battenfeld, who works on mylar. She works with an incredibly complicated way of working with pigments. She takes two pigments. She works them together to make a consistency that kind of gets the pigments to go together, and then they kind of get spread apart. And then when she takes the brush and brushes it on the mylar, she has no idea what it's going to look like at the end. And then when it dries, it coheses into a look that's so beautiful. And then we have Bill Scott, who is just a colorist.
Yes.
He's just have massive color. And he talks about when he starts, he doesn't even know what it's going to look like because it's the color, I think, must be such a dominant thing for him. And he says he's not a gardener, but when he's done, his paintings become his garden, which I think is a very neat thing.
And I understand that he has flowers all over his own workspaces that kind of inspire him. He calls himself the nearsighted realist.
Yes.
I love that.
Yes.
So when he takes his glasses off, whatever appears is what he sees.
He said his canvases, that's what he sees, is when he looks at flowers. It's just all sort of together.
I love that.
Yeah, I do
that.
Too. I do
and
too.
Who else do we have?
We have Annette Davidek, whose work is very much inspired, especially her later work, from a trip to Asia and Japanese textiles and embroidery. And having lived in Japan, I'm especially drawn to her themes. She paints on birch panels and then has multiple glazes of oil paint that then create ghost images that are underneath. And then on top, she has these botanical forms, such as petals, flowers, fronds, and they are painted repeatedly.
How beautiful.
Yes. And then we have Jean Reiner, who is a contemporary botanical artist, who is, as she describes herself, not the old-style botanical artist who is academically oriented towards what she's painting. She is deciding what she wants to focus on when she paints something, whether it's something that the human eye would not see. So she enlarges it so that people can really appreciate the beauty of her beautiful plants and flowers.
And the finite quality of detail.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
This is very exciting.
It's very exciting.
And let's talk about the flower arrangements that are offered up.
Yes. These are, I was going to say, this is almost two shows. We have the artists, and then the curators had to work with the garden clubs of Greenwich. I don't mean they had to, but they have to coordinate, and the garden clubs have to be willing to do this. It's a big commitment they make because these are not really flower arrangements, they're flower designs, I've been told that is a very different thing. So I'd just like to mention which garden clubs included. Green Fingers Garden Club, the Garden Education Center, the Little Garden Club of Rye, Greenwich Garden Club, the Knollwood Garden Club, the Riverside Garden Club, and the last one will be Hortulus.
Oh, marvelous.
Yeah,
marvelous.
Quite amazing.
And besides just the general gallery showing, you have lots of special events around all of your installations.
That's true. That's something we really try to do because we're in a gallery. We really, one of our missions is education. So we have gallery talks where the artists come in, and there's always fascinating. We have special hands-on work where children can come in to do work. Last year we had a show on wild animals, and the artist wanted to set up a workstation so children could come in and make things, and it was just wonderful. We really try to do that as well, try to get children involved.
Oh, that's marvelous. Yes. That's marvelous because, you know, I read that our Philadelphia realist, Bill Scott, who's on show right now, he's an established artist with an impressive exhibition history.
Definitely.
But he says, as a kid, he used to cut school and visit galleries when he discovered art. He was so excited. And I've got to read you a quote because this is really pertinent to art on display. He says that, "I find that the memory of the experience of seeing and observing art was as important as the physical experience of standing in front of a painting." And, you know, these words kind of spin around our head, Barbara, but, you know, doesn't that make us realize how rich viewing art is as an experience, especially for young people?
For young people. You know, the brain is very young when you're a child, and so those things that you observe are going to make an impact on you as you grow up. And I think those early experiences cannot be quantified, how important they are for as you turn into an adult.
Yeah. So I want to ask, you know, because I don't really know about curating. It's such an interesting thing. And all of you are volunteers. But who makes the decisions about the themes of these shows?
That is the selection committee.
Ah.
That is a group of our volunteers that's about 12. And we meet once a month. And we look at applications that have been submitted, and then all of us go out and find art and bring it in. And oftentimes it's random, and then something starts to form. The flower show is a good example. Mm-hmm. We started looking at different artists who did flowers, and the idea came, let's do a flower show because those are always popular. Mm-hmm. And then it was said, why don't we do Art in Bloom? That is a national program that works on having flower paintings and then flower arrangements. So the selection committee has to have a majority vote to approve an artist, and then it's hopefully we get to put it together in a show, and we'll be doing our presentation in April for our shows next year. Mm-hmm. So we have to have 6 shows for next year, and we make our presentation to our committee so people can sign up to work on those shows, and it's a big job.
Behind the scenes, you're working really hard right now.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I just want to know, honestly, how do you all get along? You know, does it everything work in harmony?
You know, there's something wonderful about volunteers. They're treasures. I mean, that's how I view them, is that they're a treasure. You have to take good care of them. Mm-hmm. You have to treat them with respect. And I think that really works well at the Flynn. I know when I joined in 1985, I was brand new to Greenwich. And it was like I immediately felt, these are people who I want to get to know and I want to be with. And that's still how I feel.
Now, is art in your background?
I'm an attorney. No, it's not. Ah. I learned a lot working at the Flynn.
I love that.
Yes.
I have so many attorney voice students. You know, it's that side of the brain that's working, that wants to make music or art in some way. So let's look forward. You've got 2 more shows coming this season.
Yes.
So next, I think we have a quite interesting and soulful show. It's The Corrugated World, The Art of James Grasho.
Yes. He's an amazing artist. People must come to see him because he's whimsical. The things he makes are so much fun. He does monkeys, he does flowers, he does birds, and then he's going to have woodblock prints. But the corrugated cardboard things that he makes, it's unbelievable.
Well, he's quite well known through the documentary film, The Cardboard Bernini,
yes,
which I've seen, that was done by Olympia Stone, by her father, who's the great art collector, I believe, in a grand gesture that deals with mortality, his own sense of mortality. Hmm. He's willing to let his cardboard pieces be deposited outdoors and withstand the elements.
Yes.
And they eventually turn to mush.
Yes.
And it's the most extraordinary process.
Yes.
At first, I thought, no, I can't watch this, you know, and I think when it first happened to him, he was devastated, but then he decided that there's life and death in art, so to speak.
Yes.
But we're not dealing with that but so not much in this show.
Everything will be inside. Nothing will be outside in the rain.
Thank you. But you are going to show the movie, aren't you?
Yes, the movie will be on, let's see if I know the date. I don't know the date, but it's the Friday film. And if you check with the Greenwich Library, go on their website, or on the FlynnGallery.com website,
there you go.
It will show when that movie is going to be played.
And this is going to run from March 16 to April 26th, I believe.
That's right.
So we've got some time here to plan. But everyone needs to come out to see James Grashow's amazing art.
Yes.
Really, it's whimsical, somehow disturbing in a way. I mean, the presence of some of his pieces are very ominous, but yet at the same time, it's really playful. And I love corrugated cardboard. I don't know what it is about cardboard, but I find the texture of it really fascinating. So it seems appealing.
And it's going to be a retrospective for him. So there's going to be a lot of stuff there. And
wow,
it's going to be really fun to see his work. If you haven't seen it, you have to come.
Now, how do the people of this area get to know all of you curators? Is there a chance to meet all of you at some point? Do you have like a tea? Do we have, a tea and cucumber sandwiches anytime?
Well, we have coffees in the morning sometimes for the curators. But, we're all curators. It's not like there's a group that's a curator. Mm-hmm. We all are curators. We all have jobs that we do with the gallery, and those change from year to year.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say come to our openings. Come to our events.
Mm-hmm.
Our next show after Jimmy Grashow, the Cambodian art show, we have so many events, and so that will be another opportunity to meet the women from the Flynn Gallery
who are working very hard. This is exciting, and I think everyone should be accountable for the art we have on offer through the Greenwich Library.
Right.
And you, Barbara Richards, you are so approachable. I love you already.
Oh, thank you.
So now I understand that you are the curator for the final show. It's like the final movement in a symphony,
isn't it? That's right.
So this is Cambodia looking back
on the future. Yes.
Can you tell us how you came to this?
Well, in the title or the show?
Oh, both.
Well, the show, I am a co-curator with Deborah Fram, who I think just got back today from, she's been abroad. And she had been to Cambodia 2 or 3 years ago with Cambodian Living Arts, which is an organization in Cambodia that is trying to revive the arts that were pretty much wiped out by the Khmer Rouge.
Mm-hmm.
And she loved her experience, and she came back and wanted to do a show on Cambodian art. And she asked me to be a co-curator because I've been to Cambodia as well. So that was over 2 years ago. We've been working on this very hard because everything had to be shipped here. It's not like these are people who live in New York. They
right.
live in Cambodia. There's also right. a diaspora, a few artists, one who lives in Washington and one who lives in Massachusetts, but most of all, they live in Cambodia. And we wanted to have this show. We wanted to share Cambodia with the people of Fairfield County and mm-hmm. Westchester County,
mm-hmm.
because we feel like people don't really appreciate this country or know the history of this country. So mm-hmm. first of all, this is contemporary art. We're not doing traditional Cambodian art. It's all contemporary artists. So their stories of the artists are very interesting. Most of them did not go through the Khmer Rouge, but every one of them had family who went
and
through it.
And they've been affected.
So this is looking back. That's
yeah.
right.
Mm-hmm.
And then the idea that they're going towards the future. And so mm-hmm. that's the enigma of Cambodia right now.
How did you find the energy of these artists?
Well, the fact that they're surviving means they have energy.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
our curator in Phnom Penh, Dana Langlois, who is an American but living in Cambodia for 17 years, she had a gallery in Phnom Penh, and so she already had relationships with artists, and Deborah, my co-curator, had met her on the trip. So in some ways, this worked out very nicely for us. If we had tried to do this from scratch, it would have been very difficult,
mm-hmm.
but actually Dana is huge, and she's going to be here for the opening.
Exciting.
She's doing a talk, panel discussion. She's been great.
Exciting. And I gather that you have music
to
complement this.
We're going to have a concert of traditional Cambodian instruments. And it wasn't easy finding
I bet.
Musicians in our area. Maybe we're lucky we're on the East Coast because yes. they're more likely here. So we have, I think, four musicians coming from Massachusetts, bringing their traditional Cambodian instruments.
Lovely.
And then one American who lives in New Haven, and he also plays an instrument. And they will be performing. And they'll be performing in the Cole Auditorium on, let's see, Sunday, May 6th. At 3 o'clock, and in between their songs, they will discuss what that song meant or talk about the instruments. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be a very, I think, informal and enlightening kind of experience for people.
But yet this entire installation is really comprehensive, isn't it?
It really is.
You have many, many tangible, you know, efforts here. I think it sounds fascinating.
Well, it is. I mean, we have the art, which, of course, is very important. That's mm-hmm. that's how this all started. Mm-hmm. And then we have one film on a Friday night, then we have a documentary on the lost rock and roll in Cambodia. Then we have a panel discussion on art in post-conflict Cambodia. What does it mean today? Then we have a book discussion of Never Fall Down about a young man who went through the Khmer Rouge. And the writer, and he will be at our book discussion. It's really a rich, and it's a very busy time of the year. So trying to schedule these events,
of course.
Not conflicting with the Greenwich Town Party mm-hmm. and the International Film Festival and
of
Mother's
course.
Day, all of these things. But we think we've done it.
This is something. I can't believe the comprehensiveness of this project.
It's truly exciting. It is what we've been living with for 2 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do we have any little hints about what to come next year, or is that still work in progress and can't be revealed?
I'll say this. We have some wonderful shows coming.
Of course you do.
They're very exciting. They're dynamic. They're going to be terrific.
So does the Flynn Gallery ever work with the Bruce Museum or the Greenwich Arts Center? Are you all kind of, you know, conjugated, so to speak?
We have worked with the Bruce in the past. And we are going to work with them in the near future.
Oh, that's marvelous.
Yes.
Good for you.
The arts societies, they rent our space in the summer. So they are in the Flynn in the summer.
I wondered what happened with the Flynn mm-hmm. in the summer and mm-hmm. how active it was. So what have you seen to be the most popular shows in the last couple of years at the Flynn?
You know, it's so interesting. It depends on who walks in the door.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we have, for example, our show in the fall, I've Lost Control.
Yes, yes.
We thought that is, you know, this is a risky show, edgy show.
Yeah,
how is
so
it going to do? It was incredible.
Uh-huh.
We sold a lot. That's one of our criteria, how we did, how much we sold. We sold quite a bit. And then sometimes a few years ago, we did a show on boats. And we thought, this is a sure thing. No, it wasn't. So you never know. But people always come in and say, this is your best show. Someone always says that every single
right.
show. This is the best show you've ever done. And we like that. We
right.
like to hear that.
Right. Oh, I'm sure you do.
Yes.
And, you know, just reflecting back on Art in Bloom, which is still going, folks,
right.
up until March 8th.
Don't
let's
forget.
All get into the Flynn Gallery. You have to see these flowers as art. It's
That's
quite
right.
something. My personal favorite, I have to admit, was really Jackie Battenfield. I found the fragility and the beauty, the simple beauty of some of her designs so extraordinary. And, you know, I was checking into her background, and I wanted to read something that she wrote because I think it's really interesting about her inspiration. And she writes, "My fascination with branches and leaves originated from a week I spent at a rural meditation retreat in the 90s. Spring was slowly awakening the landscape from its winter bareness. For hours each day, I sat next to a window in silence. As my city mindset quieted, I was transfixed as tender buds and leaves daily transformed a gnarly elm tree outside. My paintings evoke the immediacy of that experience. My hands slowly reanimated the twisting and branching line of a tree limb, the subtle curve of a bamboo stalk, or the concentric marks radiating out from a single stone dropped into still water." And you know, Barbara, you see that in her work.
Yes.
And really, it's so perfect when you think you all organized this for the dead of the winter.
Exactly.
When we're living in hope.
That's right. But I'm hopeful spring is coming. This week looks like it's going to be warm.
I think the Flynn is going to invoke spring. I really do.
With
this,
that would be
this,
great.
This wonderful installation.
Thank you.
So is there anything else anyone needs to know about, coming up at the Flynn? Any little special events that they can pop into?
Well, the Jimmy Grashow show is going to be incredible. There's going to be the film, his film.
By the way, I checked the date. That's March 24th.
Thank you, Bob Small.
Thank you very much.
Sure.
That's so good. I just would like to mention the other two artists that are in the show.
Please.
Annette Davidek and Julia Berkeley Peck. So there are five artists in this current show, and I want to make sure that
sure,
I mention
absolutely.
Them. I would say this is what we do, and I would say our Cambodia show, we're going to be just chock-a-block full of activities. And the Jim McGrashow show, the gallery is going to be chock-a-block. And
It's literally going to be filled.
Yes.
I like that chock-a-block. That's very English, Barbara.
It's true. I think you'll agree when you see it. That's what it's going to be.
And
like.
We will be gobsmacked.
Yes,
we will.
There you go.
With excitement for this. Okay. What site can people go to after this thrilling show we've just given them, as an entry level?
FlynnGallery.com.
FlynnGallery.com.
Yes. We have a new website. Simple. We're very proud of it.
And no one should be afraid to come into Greenwich Library.
Absolutely not. We've had people feel like they needed an invitation. Please know.
Yep.
This is a public library. One of the wonderful things about being in the Greenwich Library is our foot traffic is so wonderful.
I'm glad to hear that. I was wondering about your metrics. And actually, it's not intimidating at all.
Good.
Even for the opening. So everyone should be feeling
come.
That they can take advantage of this wonderful art.
Yes.
This is marvelous. I'm so excited to talk to you.
Well, thank
Barbara
you.
Richards, the
I feel
chair
the same way.
At the Flynn Gallery. We are in the presence of excellence here.
Oh, well, thank you very
the
much.
The attorney who loves her art so much, she's devoting her time.
I do.
Even while your kitchen is being demolished this morning in your home.
Right.
She's given her time to be here to speak with us.
That's
I'm so
true.
Excited. Ladies and gentlemen, please come out to the Flynn Gallery at the Greenwich Library. You need to see Art in Bloom right now. The two shows upcoming that we've been speaking about, culminating with Cambodia and Cambodian art and music, which will be so thrilling for this area. There's a lot to take advantage of in Greenwich, Connecticut, and you need to do it. And when you get a moment before the Oscars, please revisit my show from last week on the beautiful art and music of Thomas Newman, the great film composer, who's been nominated 13 times and never won an Oscar. He needs to win now, and I think it's worthy. Barbara Richards, thank you so much from the Flynn Gallery for joining us.
It's been a pleasure, real pleasure.
Yeah, the pleasure has been ours, and the curtain is now down on Center Stage.
This is David Weiss for The Slice of Life. Be careful with that plate of food. Watch out! Wait, scoop it up off the floor quick and we can still eat it. The old 5-second rule. You know the rule. Pick up food off the floor within 5 seconds and it's still good to eat, right? Maybe not.
What our research showed is that the 5-second rule is not true because we did actually see some transfer even only with a very short instantaneous contact.
That's Dr. Donald Schaffner, microbiologist at Rutgers University in New Jersey, who's talking about the transfer of bacteria to food no matter how quickly you pick it up from the floor.
You could get very sick from eating something that's been on the floor even for a fraction of a second.
So if you buy all this, forget the 5-second rule. New rule.